prayed about it, and maybe, I believe it was the Lord leading me to do Ephesians. If it wasn't the Lord leading, it was me picking it, because it is my favorite book. So I love the book of Ephesians. It's so positive and uplifting. And I mean, I'll tell you what, you can't read the book of Ephesians and not be excited what God has done for you. Amen. So that's where we're going to be at, book of Ephesians. And the outline, I'll have an outline each week. Don't feel obligated to write anything. If you know, some people learn different ways. Some people like to listen and just take it in. That's absolutely fine. But some people like to write things down, and they learn better that way. So don't feel obligated in any way, okay? But I wanted to have it so that, you know, if you learn better that way, that you had it. So we're going to be in Ephesians is what we're going to go through, but in order to learn introduction-wise of Ephesians, let's look at question number one on our paper, and this will tell you where we're going to go. Paul visited Ephesus. That's a little... If that's too loud, you just have to tell me. Sorry. I do get loud. I have a loud voice. I get excited. I do get loud. But yeah, question number one. Paul visited Ephesus briefly on his second missionary journey, and then again on his third missionary journey. So the question is, where do we read about these accounts? Now, you may not know what chapter, but I'm sure you're familiar with the Bible enough to know what book are we going to read about Paul's missionary journeys. I'm sorry? Well, Ephesians is his letter to Ephesus, but what book do we read about Paul's missionary journeys where he got saved and then started planting churches? The book of Acts. Very good. The book of Acts. So we're going to go to Acts, actually, to start off. And your answer there for number one is Acts chapter 18 and also Acts chapter 19. So we're going to start off in the book of Acts, even though we're learning about Ephesians, because you have to see where it came from. So just to give you, while you're turning there, Acts chapter 18. In the book of Acts chapter 9 is when Paul, you know, Saul, of course, was on the road to Damascus, and a bright light appeared, and of course it was the Lord, and he spoke to him and he blinded him. That's Acts chapter 9. And then, of course, we see Paul then start to become a missionary. Well, in chapter 17, he visits Thessalonica, and he's just going on his journeys, okay? Well, here in chapter 18, he leaves Corinth, however you want to pronounce it there, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem, and on his way, he stops in Ephesus, okay? So we're going to pick up here, Acts chapter 18, starting in verse number 19. 19, if you have your Bibles, read along with me here in your head. Starting in verse 19, and he, talking about Paul, came to Ephesus and left them there, the others that were with him, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. So there's your answer to number one. Acts chapter 18, verses 19 to 21 is the start of where Paul visited Ephesus. And of course, that was the ending of his second missionary journey. You don't need to write all that. You know, just write Acts chapter 18. And then we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 19 once he goes back to Ephesus when he starts his third missionary journey. So Acts chapter 19, we're going to pick it up in verse number 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And then he goes on and has some conversion experiences, but we're going to jump up to verse number 8. Verse number 8. And he, Paul, went into the synagogue and spake boldly. Amen. Don't we need some bold preachers and speakers today? I love it. Spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Verse number 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So, just to kind of let you know what's going on here, he goes back to Ephesus and he goes to the synagogue to preach to the Jews. Of course, we all know that Paul, what was he? He was a missionary to the Gentiles, but God hasn't sent him to the Gentiles, you know, yet and all that kind of thing. And Paul's heart was he longed for the Jews. He loved them. If you remember, he even said, even if it were possible for me to go to hell so they could be saved, right? That's how much he loved the Jews. But what happened here in Ephesus is their hearts were hardened in the synagogue and they ran them out of town. Okay, so that's what's going on. Now, if you would, jump up to verse 24. Verse 24. This is pretty much the introduction to Ephesians. I'm giving you the background of how a church was planted in Ephesus, because the book of Ephesians was Paul writing a letter back to the church that was at Ephesus. Okay, so I'm giving you how the church started at Ephesus. So verse 24, please, in chapter 19, verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Let me stop there for a second. Isn't that amazing? They're like, this Paul, see what's going on here is they worshipped the goddess Diana, okay? The people at Ephesus, they worshipped these false gods, okay? And they worshipped this goddess named Diana, and they even had a temple to her. And Paul comes and starts preaching, hey, this is not a god. There's only one God, the God of heaven. And I love it. What kind of testimony is that? All throughout Asia, Paul is persuading these people to turn from gods. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. Praise the Lord for that. And I believe all throughout our communities, people can be turned away from false gods and to the Lord Jesus Christ if we'll be bold and preach and speak the way that Paul did. Just a side note there for you. All right, verse number 27. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. We're going to read the rest of chapter 19 if you're following along. We're going to finish out chapter 19 here. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. Verse 34. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Okay, let me paint a picture here for you to make sure we're not getting lost in the story. Paul's getting these people who, you see, the city of Ephesus, we're going to get to some of these questions here. I'm sorry, we'll get there in a second. But the city of Ephesus was a major center, let's call it, of tourism. Okay, a lot of people were tourists at this place. Well, they had the goddess Diana in the temple there. So these people, let me put it in our terms, they were making souvenirs, okay, to these false gods, and they were making a lot of money off of it, right? Well, when Paul starts preaching and turning these people away from these false gods, that hurt the economy of the false gods, okay? And of course we know what? The love of money is the root of all evil. So they didn't like that, right? So then they take Paul's companions and throw them into a theater, and they're essentially accusing them of being like bad people. Okay? And then Paul wants to go in and help, and they were like, no, because we don't know what's going to happen in there. Right? They were kind of protecting Paul at this point. But it's just crazy to me how bad they were, because it says, look at verse 34 again. When they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So for 2 hours, these people are crying out, "Great is the God of Diana." You know what they were doing? It's like when Stephen was stoned. Do you remember what it said? When he was preaching to them, what did they do? They stopped up their ears and were like, I don't want to hear it. That's what's going on here. We don't want to hear your message, so we're going to just yell, "Great is the God of Diana, the goddess of Diana," for 2 hours. That's how bad these people didn't want the Lord. Okay? Now, some of them did, obviously, but a lot of them did not. All right, and we're in verse 35. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly." What he's saying is, you guys knew, all of us here in Ephesus, we worship false gods. So why in the world would you come here and preach against it? That's what they're saying. But Paul's like, "I know, but that's what I'm supposed to do." Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. We don't care that the world is becoming, that America is becoming less Christian. We're still going to go out and preach our Christian message, right? So, you know, we can be encouraged like in the way that Paul did there. Sorry, where am I at here? 38. "Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open and there are deputies. Let them plead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly." I'll explain here in a second. "For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly." Okay, so what's going on here is the Romans ruled over at this time period. And what happened is, if there was like an uproar or people were, rising up, or there was some kind of, just fighting going on, the Romans would get upset and they'd come in and just start killing people, right? So that's what they're saying. Hey, we don't have an answer of why this uproar, so, we don't want to have any problems here, is what they're doing. They're trying to get rid of any problems so the Romans don't hear about it and come in and start killing people, is what's going on. And, by the way, when they said they didn't do anything talking about the law, basically saying, yeah, they're preaching against these false gods, but they haven't stolen anything. They haven't broken any laws. So if they have, then bring them to the courts, is kind of what he's saying here. Okay? Okay, so now we're going to... So that's question number one, is that's where it started. Now let's go to question number two. In Acts chapter 20, verse 21, what was Paul's message to the Jews and to the Greeks? Notice I said to both, the Jews and the Greeks. So turn up to chapter 20, verse 21. This was the message. "Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen, right there, amen. That's our answer to number two. What was Paul's message to the Jews and to the Greeks? Repentance and faith. And faith. And that's our message today. Right? Amen? Repentance and faith. Amen. Repentance and faith. Repent, a change of heart toward God. You need to accept and believe in faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Let's go up to chapter 20, verse number 31. Now, I know I'm going fast through here because I'm giving you the background. Once we get to the book of Ephesians, we're going to go slower. Okay? Verse by verse. I promise. We'll slow down. Okay, so chapter 20, verse number 31. Paul says this, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So our question number... Three is, how long had Paul ministered unto the Ephesians? What's it say? 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. He's basically saying, hey, I gave you the whole counsel of God, and I did it for 3 years. Y'all have no excuse, all right, is what he's telling them. Okay, so that's pretty much all we're going to be in Acts. And I have one more verse before we start in we're going to start in Ephesians here in a second. But question number 4 says this. Who did Paul leave to pastor the church at Ephesus when he left? Well, if I tell you where we're going to turn, it's going to give the answer away. Does anybody know offhand? Just a guess. I wouldn't have known before looking it up. You know, does anybody know? Just a guess. Who did Paul train? Well, Timothy. I heard somebody say Timothy was a guard. Yeah, Timothy. He did Timothy. Here's how we know. Go to 1 Timothy. That's why I didn't want to give you the verse yet, because it gives it away. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I hope you don't mind the information. This is my teacher coming out in me. I hope you guys enjoy this. Studying the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 1. And verse number 3. Well, of course, verse 2. Let's read verse 2 as well. Paul says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look at verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still, where? At Ephesus. At Ephesus. When I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So that's your answer to number 4. Who did Paul leave? Well, it was Timothy. He left Timothy. Okay, now this time I promise one last verse before we get to Ephesians. Revelations chapter number 2. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Revelations chapter number 2. Like I said, I'm trying to give you kind of an overview of the church of the church at Ephesus before we dive in. This is the last one, and then we'll go to Ephesians, okay? What do we know about the church at Ephesus? Well, unfortunately, we are going to read something not so good about them right here. So we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Revelations chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And verse 4 is the sad news. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. That's not a good testimony, amen? That's not what we want the Lord to say about us, right? So anyways, that's your answer to number 5. It says, Revelations tells us, God has somewhat against thee, against the church at Ephesus. Why? Because they left their first love. They left their first love. Not a good testimony. And church, I pray that it is always the testimony of Bethlehem Baptist Church that we have not left our first love. Amen? Let's say that as long as Bethlehem Baptist Church is in existence, that will not be the testimony of Bethlehem Baptist. Amen? Okay, so now go to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to just stay there. Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to stay there. Now, the next question says, Ephesians was written around what dates? Well, there's a lot of commentary out there, and every one of them have the date fixed between 60 and 63 A.D. So, you know, one commentary might say 61 A.D., one commentary might say 63 A.D. So I'm giving you, 60 to 63 A.D., somewhere in those years. Question 7, Ephesians is one of 4 epistles that Paul wrote while he was where? Does anybody know? Oh, I thought you... If you know, you can just say it. Does anybody know? Where was Paul when he wrote the book of Ephesians? He was in Rome, specifically in prison. Yeah, very good. He was in a Roman prison. Now, the reason why we like to point that out is because even though he's in prison, the book is so uplifting and so encouraging. Isn't that awesome? Like, oh man, it's not like, oh, well, Paul's rich and he's healthy and he's got all these things going on and he writes a book about how awesome God is, how great our God is. You're like, well, yeah, Paul, that's easy to do. But Paul's like, hey, I was in prison when I wrote this. And of course, he had everything else, you know, that went on. Okay, question number 8. The 4 prison epistles are, I'll just go ahead and give them to you. Of course, Ephesians, that's one of them. That's what we're in. And there are 4 total epistles that he wrote while in prison. Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Or Philemon, however you... So Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Or Philemon. Philemon. You guys feel like you're back in school yet? Bible school, right? Let's call it Bible school. Like I said, you guys, if you have an opinion on these things, I don't mind if you share them with me after services and whatnot. But I know that I love learning this way, so that's why, I hope you guys do as well. You know, amen. Feel free to share. Okay, number 9. What was the city of Ephesus originally known for, and what did they worship? Well, we kind of already talked about it. They were known for idolatry. Idolatry. You know, like idol worship. And specifically, what did they worship? We read it in Acts. What was the name of that god that they worshiped? Diana, yeah. Goddess Diana. The goddess Diana. Okay, and we're going to jump to verse 1 in our text here. Jump up to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. So it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul gives us a standard greeting there. Almost all the epistles that he writes, except with the exception of Hebrews, which some people say was or was not written by. I believe it was, because the writing style really lends itself to a Pauline epistle, okay? But anyways, other than Hebrews, Paul usually has this kind of tagline at the beginning, okay? But I want you to notice where he's giving us his authority, if you will. Hey, listen to me, because I'm an apostle, all right? And he tells us he's an apostle. So that leads us to question number 10. What is an apostle, and do we have any apostles today? Well, I'll answer that second one first. No, we do not have any apostles today. So I'm not trying to be mean, but in the Pentecostal church and churches like that, that they say, oh, this is apostle, this is Apostle Garnet. That's not accurate, okay? And what they're saying, like, they're literally a false prophet when they call themselves a prophet. They're literally a false prophet. Now, the people who go to those churches, I personally think they just don't know any better. I don't think they're, it's kind of like people who go to a Catholic church, okay? I believe the Catholic priests, you can't go through the teaching that these Catholic priests go through and not, you're part evil, in my opinion, okay? If you go through the teaching of being a Catholic priest and you come out thinking all that's okay, you're definitely a false prophet, a false teacher. But the people who go to church, at like a Catholic church, most of them don't know any better. They don't even know what they teach, okay? Just kind of a side note. I have many of them in my family, cousins and such. They have no idea what the Catholics teach, and they just go, They're just part of the Catholic Church because it's tradition, yeah. Well, my dad and my grandpa, my great-grandpa was, so I am too, okay? Okay, so the answer is, do we have anything? No. Now, there's actually kind of 2 things that define an apostle in the Bible. Number 1 was if you had seen the risen Christ, okay? And we're not going to turn there, but that comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 22. I'll just read you that, where it says, they were choosing a new apostle to replace Judas. And it says in verse 22, the requirements of that apostle was this: beginning from the baptism of John, under that same day that he, Jesus, was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Okay? So the definition of an apostle is someone who had seen the risen Jesus. Okay? So in other words, an eyewitness to the risen Savior. Okay? But then the other thing, I mean, you don't have to write this one down. This is just kind of an extra thing there. In the book of John, chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus says unto his disciples, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So the word apostle, the definition means sent out. Okay? Someone who's sent out. Okay? Now, why does Paul qualify? Because a lot of people say, you know, Paul's an apostle. Well, he wasn't alive, right? People say. He wasn't around when Jesus was walking, like after he rose from the dead and walked around. Well, we talked about in Acts chapter 9, Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Okay? So he did see the risen Savior, and Jesus spoke to Paul and commissioned him. So he sent him out. Okay, so I just wanted to give you that, because some people out there, now none of you guys are going to question that Paul's an apostle, okay? But there are people out there who question if Paul truly was an apostle.
That's right.
Okay, so I was just giving you the biblical reasons as to why he was. Okay, and just a side note on number 11, I just thought this was interesting. I wanted to share with you. Who is the greatest of all the apostles? It's kind of a trick question. I didn't know this, but the Bible calls Jesus Christ an apostle. Did you know that? I didn't. I didn't know. See, I'm when I study the Bible, I'm kind of a nerd. I like to look up the word, like apostle, and then I'll just, you know, look in a commentary or concordance, thank you, a concordance, and look up everywhere where you see the word apostle. And in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, don't look it up now, but maybe if you want to write it down, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Consider the apostle," and it's capitalized, "and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And I was like, oh wow, Jesus is called, you know, he's the apostle and high priest, okay? So that was just kind of an interesting thing there. Okay, let's go back to verse number 2 in our text. Verse number 2. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings Amen. In heavenly places in Christ." So question number 12 says, "Give some examples of spiritual blessings." And I want to just kind of open it up and let you guys just share some spiritual blessings. Because he says he blesses us with all spiritual blessings. Well, first of all, of course, you would say salvation, right? That's not a physical blessing. That's a spiritual blessing. We all know that physical blessings can be gone in a minute, right? Those can be gone in a minute. But spiritual blessings last forever. So I would say a spiritual blessing would be salvation. And if you guys wanted to share, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but does anybody want to share? Just testify for a moment. Hey, spiritual blessings, man. I have some to share. Does anybody want to? Brother Sean?
I feel like I was spiritually blessed since I was saved. God put me in church where I had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single time in the church.
Yeah.
I always felt like that God blessed me by giving two, especially two men in particular, that taught me the scriptures.
Amen.
They taught me verse by verse, and I felt like I got really blessed by learning God's word early on myself. And when I got saved, there was a spiritual life.
Yeah. Amen. And that's a spiritual blessing, not a physical blessing, something that can be done away, but a spiritual blessing. Anybody else? Like I said, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but you know, I just wanted to give you an opportunity if you'd like. So, okay. And you know, not only your salvation, but if you have kids and grandkids, and because of your faithfulness and your involvement in church and in God's word, they have salvation. Praise the Lord. That is a spiritual blessing.
Amen.
Amen. So definitely spiritual blessings. I'll give you a couple more. And in fact, we'll end on this. Sorry we didn't get all the way through, but I feel like we covered a lot tonight here. But I'll give you two more spiritual blessings. One is prayer. You know what prayer is? Prayer is that we can have direct access to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that, right? That's a spiritual blessing. That's not a physical blessing. That's a spiritual blessing. And I'll give you one more, the Word of God. The Word of God, right? We can learn about our God, our Creator, our Savior. That's a spiritual blessing as well. So, any questions? And I'll close this out in prayer here. But any questions so far? I know we only got to three verses, but we covered a lot in Acts. Okay? So you know, next week we'll just pick right up here in Ephesians, and we'll be right into Ephesians and move forward from there. Any questions or anything? Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word. And Lord, as we just spake, we thank you for our spiritual blessings. The fact that you give us salvation, Lord, when we don't deserve it. And we're so thankful and grateful. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for prayer. Father, that we can have direct access to the throne of heaven, to the God of creation himself. Lord, we thank you for that. What a blessing and a privilege it is to be a child of God. And Lord, I pray for Bethlehem Baptist Church and Lord, the things that you're about to do. The Bible says you're going to do a new thing. And Lord, we're so excited. We're going to work together. We're a team. And we're going to do what you have us do, Lord. And we're going to give you the glory for it all. And we pray for this week. We pray for everyone who's sick. We pray for those that are struggling either financially or just physically or maybe just emotionally in some way. Lord, we pray that you'll lift them up, encourage them, and get them through the week. And we pray for services on Sunday, even now. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.